A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about ways in which we can share God's light. One of the aspects I explored was reflecting God's glory and how Moses' face shone after he had been speaking to God on the mountaintop one day. With the gospel reading today, we arrive at another mountaintop and a similar occurrence. This time, Moses was joined by Elijah, but the brightest of all was the appearance of Jesus, all of which intrigues me. And I'd planned to share some more thoughts with you on that subject this morning, but when I was mulling over this very familiar text, something new caught my attention that is more clearly seen in the Eugene Peterson paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. And the theme is that of waiting, being patient. Now, it's not something I'm very good at. As I was told many a time by my mother, all in good time, John, all in good time. And I love the way that Peterson translates one piece of Jesus' advice to the disciples. It's there in verse 27. Oh, don't be in such a hurry to go into business for yourself. The theme, all in good time, actually begins earlier on in chapter 16 with the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to trick Jesus into a trap by demanding he perform a miracle for them, right there, on the spot. But he refused to produce an instant result, just for show. And a little later on, Jesus tells the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer what is to come. Unsurprisingly, they're horrified. Then Jesus explains that these events must unfold. Time needs to be taken. Don't be in such a hurry. Indeed, although the text rushes on to the next piece of action, the disciples had to wait a further 6 days before the next installment of the story. And I find it interesting that Moses had to wait for an identical 6 days on the top of Mount Sinai, you can find that in Exodus 24, verse 16, on his second visit up there, before God gave him the instructions for building and putting together the tabernacle, and then eventually, many chapters later, God gives Moses the 2 stone tablets of the covenant. And that occurs in chapter 31, verse 18. You see, it's all in good time. And the location of the transfiguration is important too. James and John and Peter had to take time to climb up the mountain. And in the process, climbed away from all the hustle and bustle of everyday life. And then, well, then came that extraordinary moment of revelation, of quite literally seeing Jesus in a new light. And there is much that can be said about what happened, but that's not for today. Instead, we find another example of Peter just reacting out of instinct. Or maybe his character is rather like mine, of wanting to rush about and actually just do something, rather than just being there. Being there with the experience. Once more, I love Peter's description of Peterson's description of Peter just kind of babbling on about building memorials, or other translations have tents or dwellings. Perhaps it was just his nervous reaction to such a very strange situation. But actually, all he needed to do was to wait, be still, watch, and listen. This is clearly a moment of huge significance, an occasion for very important news, which is why it's recorded in Mark and Luke as well as Matthew, and why we go and revisit it each and every year on the Sunday before Lent begins. Looking back over the text last week, I noticed another aspect of this event which I found very interesting. This is where I go off on one of my famous tangents. When Abraham and Sarah were given the astonishing news that they were to be parents of nations, they were given the news by three visitors. Going up the mountain with Jesus were three disciples, who promptly saw three people. And considering the importance of the understanding of our faith for the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, I think that there's something really interesting going on here that merits further reflection that I haven't had time for. Maybe I should take my own advice. All in good time. And it's worth noting, too, just how long Abraham and Sarah had to wait before the birth of Isaac. In fact, his name means he will laugh, reflecting the laughter and disbelief of Abraham and Sarah when told by God that they would have a child. I see an important theme emerging from the pattern of this story, of being in the right place at the right time. And the time and the place are of God's choosing, not ours. Even the event of the Transfiguration has a weight built into it. The attention of the reader, and I'm sure that of Peter, James, and John at the time, is upon the astonishing otherworldly vision. But as a couple of commentaries that I've looked out point out, the most important moment of time upon the mountain that day was not the vision. The most important moment was when God spoke. "This is my son, marked by my love, focus of my delight. Listen to him." It is not what Jesus looked like, it is his guidance. What he says matters most. And maybe that is why we have plenty of records of his words and hardly any contemporary records of what he actually looked like. And then the moment is over. "Don't be afraid," Jesus says. And when they opened their eyes, it was the familiar figure of their friend there with them once again. Now, if it had been me, I would have been absolutely bursting to go and tell anyone and everyone what I had just witnessed. But once again, the disciples are told to wait. We're not told why Jesus said to them, "Don't breathe a word of what you've seen." After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you're free to talk. Personally, I think it's because they needed to understand that Jesus' life is simultaneously fully God as well as fully human, works differently to anyone else. I think that there is an aspect of Jesus that is outside of time. And to try to grasp this, you need to understand the whole thing set within the resurrection and ascension of Jesus in order to be able to put this event of the Transfiguration into its setting properly. The disciples needed to wait to gain the benefit of experience yet to come in order to begin to process what had just happened to them. This is an important aspect of waiting, of needing time to process what has just happened to you. And it's something that we are increasingly less used to in this day and age of instant responses and instant answers, all courtesy of the internet. Now, don't get me wrong, there is nothing at all wrong with being able to access the information we need so easily and so quickly. But the process of waiting to discover something is fading. I mean, photography is a particularly good example. Long gone are the days of waiting for the film to develop or the prints to come back from the lab. Results are now pretty much instantly there on the screen of your phone or the camera. There's no more waiting around in anticipation, or in my case, anxiety, if there was a lot riding on whether or not you got the goal photo sharped and well-timed with a whole lot of deadlines looming. But anyway, look, less of my habit about talking about photography and back to far more important matters. The message from God to the disciples is centrally important to this passage as far as I'm concerned. Listen to him was what they really needed to do in the immediate. And it was advice that was essential to them as they journeyed with Jesus to Jerusalem and on through the events that transpired in the city. With so many voices competing and having their commitment and their emotions tested to breaking point, what the disciples needed to do more than anything else was to listen to Jesus, God's Son. And we too can take heed of that central message in the Transfiguration too. For none of us know what's coming up next. Let's hope it's all plain sailing. But there may be difficulties to face, testing times ahead. Either way, we need to listen to Jesus. And we also need to take time to do this. We need, well, in my case, we need to learn to wait. Don't impose our timetable agenda on God, but wait in God's good time. Maybe we too, like Peter, James, and John, would benefit from getting away from all of the hustle and bustle. But here in Norfolk, we're going to have to find other ways of doing that because there's not very many mountains to go and climb. But there are many ways in which we can follow the lead of Jesus to take some time to watch and listen. Try a change of scenery. Go somewhere different and clear your mind of the clutter of all of those demands. Put the phone on silent and just look to see what is about you. There are also several Lent groups running in March. There's differing opportunities to go someplace else in the company of other faithful followers to listen for the guidance of Jesus. As we prepare to engage in the journey of Lent with Jesus once more, maybe we need to give him time and attentively listen out for what he may have to say to us. We too may even encounter something that is truly astonishing. Amen.